If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Time for our weekly social media update from Scott Kleinberg. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. Anxious to hear what Facebook is doing now.
Yeah, this is really, really cool. This was just announced yesterday. So remember last week we talked about this big Apple-Google project where they're going to work together to try to help people figure out where the coronavirus is spreading. Well, Facebook has released its first map. It's a map project, and they're working with Carnegie Mellon from Pittsburgh. And it's a county-by-county map showing the prevalence of self-reported symptoms. So the thing that's key about it is this is not showing you people who have been tested. This is not showing you actual cases. This is a survey that Facebook is sending out to its users randomly, and it's saying, have you suffered from any symptoms, or have you had anything or known anybody who has? And you're answering these questions. They're pretty general questions, but of course, Facebook is able to use your information as to where you are, and you know we've talked about that a lot. And they're putting together these county-by-county maps to show you what the percentage of people who are reporting coronavirus is. So it's updated daily for now. And I went there this morning to take a look at it. And you can zoom in. You can look at Cook County. You can look at all the surrounding counties. And it's really, really helpful and really, really cool. And the thing I think that's important to keep in mind is Facebook has 2 billion monthly users. And while this is U.S. right now, it's going to be rolled out globally. And it wouldn't surprise me if they roll it out to their other properties. So remember, Facebook also owns Messenger and WhatsApp and Instagram. So you're talking about much more than potentially 2 billion people. And Mark Zuckerberg, you know, Facebook CEO, said that the reason why he's doing this is because he has such a wide reach. He almost feels like he owes it to the world to do this. I think this is a really good idea.
It is. And the more you hear about this contact tracking or tracing, yep, the more it's clear that that's going to be one of the keys to getting us out of this pandemic.
It is definitely, yes, absolutely. It's definitely going to be one of the keys. The thing about that, and you're so right, but the thing about that is it's up to people and it's up to states and it's up to public health officials to use this information. So when the Apple Google stuff came out, there were a lot of senators who all of a sudden went into panic mode and they said, we can't have privacy being, you know, being taken into impact here when something like this happens. And actually, you know, it's the opposite. You know, it's like you need this kind of stuff to move forward. I'm sure the same thing is going to happen with Facebook. But if people actually use this stuff in the way that it's meant to be used, then yes, you're absolutely right. This is going to be the way to get back to whatever normal becomes.
Right. And in the end, you're right. It's all up to us. Steve Grzanich was mentioning this Instagram feature that sounded really interesting. What is it they're doing? This is about tracking as well, isn't it?
It is. Now, keep in mind, this is not Instagram itself. This is the founders of Instagram, the people who built Instagram from the ground up and used to work at Facebook. Their names are Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger. They left Facebook last year, and they have built their first project since then, which is called RT Live. And it is actually a map, but what this map does is it's a tracker that shows how fast COVID-19 is spreading in each state. So I don't know how much of this you guys have heard, but RT is defined as the average number of people. It measures the average number of people who become infected by an infectious person. So they keep talking about the RT number in New York at one point was over 2, meaning that every person infects 2 people. And when that's happening, it shows how fast the virus is spreading. When the number gets below 1, it means that the virus is receding. So here's a perfect example. Georgia, yesterday morning, Georgia's RT number was 1.5. New York's number is 0.54 where I am. And that is wonderful because the number of deaths are going down. So that shows that the virus is receding. But the fascinating part is Georgia is 1.5. Their number was 0.8. So as Georgia's governor is actually talking about opening businesses on Friday, his score is going up, showing that the virus is getting worse. So the beautiful part of this map is it shows you in real time what this spread number is. And what I found absolutely fascinating about this story is I kept wondering, what do these guys possibly know about disease spread and viral load and things that, you know, we're taking, you know, into consideration here? It turns out they are, well, Kevin, at least, he's a statistician, and he used this kind of information to help build Instagram to try to figure out how things were going to go viral. He actually took that information, social media viral, and turned it into actual disease viral using statistics. Apparently, you can cross between the two. And this map has been absolutely fantastic. And just to your point about what you said about making sure that public officials, you know, use it, this, in combination with Facebook's map, gives you almost everything you need. It tells you what the number of reports are, and it tells you what the spread looks like. So put together, this is fantastic stuff.
That is fascinating from the Instagram founders. So it's rt.live on Instagram. Is that how you see it?
No, you don't have to go to Instagram. You just go to wherever in your browser, but it is rt.live. And it just shows this map. It has like this number one in the center, and the number one tells you where the virus is either on the side of spreading or on the side of receding. And it shows you each state, and it goes up from the bottom. Like right now, Vermont has the lowest, and I think actually Georgia and Florida are the highest. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really interesting to watch how that number changes as you go back and forth day to day.
Yeah, we checked, and Illinois was at 1.2. I think it's still there, I believe, but
you're correct.
Check.
It is at 1.2. That is right.
And some news from Facebook: a new reaction button, I guess, huh, Scott?
Yeah. You know those buttons they have, the like button, the heart, the sad face. Those, they are adding a care reaction, and it's a smiley face character hugging a heart. And the thing that's really interesting about it is Facebook says that the idea of having a hug reaction has always been there, that people have said, boy, we have a heart for love and we have a finger for like, but we don't really have anything in the middle. So they've been talking about having some kind of hug reaction, and they figured that now with all the, you know, support for frontline health workers and for grocery workers, that they needed something to show that care. So they're adding this care button. And the question becomes, you know, are they going to just keep it during, you know, the coronavirus pandemic, or are they going to keep it forever? They said they'll see how people use it. I would venture to guess that based on how these reactions have rolled out in the past, that this one is going to be wildly popular. They've done things in the past where they've done limited edition ones, like there have been jack-o'-lanterns on Halloween and things like that. Those didn't do particularly well, but something like this I can see catching on as like the middle ground between that like and that love.
We all need hugs right now, any way we can get them, right?
Virtual hugs, that's right.
And right now, more people are getting their news from Facebook, and unfortunately, a lot of that news is not sourced properly, and it's not real, and I know they've been trying to police this. Are they having any luck?
Well, I don't know how much luck they're having, but they're going to try a new tactic, and that is they're going to they're not calling it this, but let's just call it what it is. They're going to kind of try to shame you into sharing the right stuff. For all the times that I've said you owe it to your followers to Google something first before you share it, they're basically saying if you share something now related to the coronavirus that proves false, that's not true, they are going to send a note. And by note, they're going to plaster a thing at the top of your feed that says you shared false information. Next time, this is how to share correct information. And they're going to give you a link to their COVID-19 center, which is this repository of pretty much everything that is actually accurate from accurate and set news sources. And basically, you're going to have to click through if you want that to go away from your feed. So it's a way of saying, hey, you know, thank you very much for sharing. We appreciate it. However, we put this together for you, and we want you to see how you could have done it next time. I think it's probably a shocking way to do it. I think it could actually annoy more people than it should, and there probably are better ways to do it. But short of actually forcing people to Google something before, it's a good start.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait for that for my mother-in-law. But that's another story for another time. And
sure.
Now let's talk about Pinterest for a minute here.
Yep.
I'm still one of those people who doesn't really use it, doesn't understand it. But I hear from a lot of folks that, especially businesses, that it's important. And they're doing some new stuff. What's up with them?
They are. And based on this name, Bob, I don't know if it's ever going to make you use it. But they've come out with this report. And it's called Global Micro Trends of Quarantine Life. Now, when I see something like that, I get excited because I'm kind of a geek when it comes to that kind of stuff. But it sounds like a thesis. And what it actually is a fancy name for what people are searching on Pinterest. And it got me to read, and that's certainly good. So it starts with food, and it basically says not just any food is being searched for, it's bread. And we've heard all along how everybody is baking bread at home because they have nothing else to do.
Right.
But what's fascinating is it's the specific kinds of bread that pins are being shared. So, for example, salty croissants. I didn't know you're supposed to put salt on a croissant. Japanese brioche and fried sweet fritters. And the only thing I thought of is I'm not going to be baking bread anytime soon because you don't want to see me cook. But I'm very, very curious into what these things are and, you know, why people are baking them. So for someone who does use Pinterest, like you're talking about, you don't. For someone who does and comes across, you know, this search for bread and they see salty croissants, well, right there, you probably have a weekend project where someone's going to bake salty croissants or bake fried sweet fritters and talk about it and spread the word. And that's exactly what Pinterest is trying to do. They're trying to get you to post really great photos of these things that you create. And by doing this, they're able to get you to do that. So that's really, really cool. And they're also supporting small businesses. They have pins related to ordering takeout or delivery from local restaurants or taking online fitness classes from local studios. So different ways to get people to actually search. And they're doing this thing called this search for love and laughs for healthcare workers. So it's in places like New York City here where, you know, people are giving these nightly displays of gratitude by playing music from their windows and balconies. People are using Pinterest to find the right words to use on other kinds of social media. So they search for things like thank you, and they come back with thank your nurses is what people are talking about on Pinterest. So they use this on other social media. So it's really, really cool how they're taking what people are searching for and they're actually giving it back in a way where it's useful down the line. It's really, really cool thinking.
And for anybody like me, is there sort of a Pinterest for dummies somewhere? I mean, if you Google, how do you use Pinterest, can you get a good basic course somewhere?
You probably can find out, but the thing that I always tell people about Pinterest, Bob, is that it's up to the person and how they use it. There's all different ways to do it. Some people just do it the traditional way, which is, you know, different colors of different books and put them together and make it look nice. And then there are people like me who have really weird Pinterest boards based on the things that I like. And based on this, people who have Pinterest boards for bread. So I think if you Google it, I think you can probably find out enough to get started. And then if you really need more help, well, you know where I am. I can always help you with that.
Yeah, okay. I'll be in contact with you. Finally, interesting Twitter survey. What did this reveal?
Yeah, this is really interesting. It has to do with brands tweeting in a new normal and what people want to see. Now, I wouldn't necessarily call it shocking, but I think it's really, really important to make sure that we're taking the pulse and we're finding out that people are doing everything right. So here's some of what it said. 82% of survey respondents said that brands should look to support frontline health staff where possible. That's very, very important. But what that's saying is that businesses should help support frontline staff. There's always this thing that says that businesses shouldn't be too human. That's kind of changing now as this is going on. So that's kind of fascinating. 86% said that brands should support vulnerable people within their communities. 89% said that brands should provide reliable, accurate information. it's crazy to me how it takes a pandemic to get 89 people to say that brands should be reliable and accurate. I think that should be 100% all the time, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. This is a big one. 80% said that brands should show how they're supporting their employees. A lot of people want to know what brands have done. Have they laid them off? Have they still continued to pay them? What are they actually doing? Because they feel like there are people behind these jobs, and there certainly are. And this one, I think, is really key. 70% of respondents said that brands should work to boost positivity and share positive stories. When it comes to a good social media plan, that's what every brand should really be doing. What are they doing in general to boost positivity? What kind of positive stories do they have? A lot of people who come to me and say, how do I create an Instagram, you know, presence if I don't really have a lot of pictures? I always say to them, you have to find the stories that make your business unique. What's special about you? That's what this is talking about on Twitter. They want brands to talk about what that positivity is. And I think this survey, this is just the first of these surveys. I don't know when they plan on doing more, but this really shows a shift because, like I was saying, it really used to be brands are not supposed to be so human. Now they want brands to be more human because people are at home and they're seeing the people behind them.
Oh, for sure. And I was thinking about this during that Saturday night One World special, the concert. The messages from companies were right in line with how we're all thinking these days, and they hit home. I mean, it does work. It really does.
Yes, it absolutely does work.
Good news here. During the break a couple minutes ago, after you talked about RT.live, I went to RT.live, and I see here in Illinois we're down now to 0.82. Good. How about that?
See, that's absolutely fantastic. And that really, really means that it's receding. And that's exactly why all that talk about making sure you stay inside and keep doing what you're doing is going to keep that number going down. So that's really good.
Yeah, it sure is. Thanks very much. Always interesting talking to Scott Kleinberg. And we look forward to our visit next week, Scott.
Sounds great, Bob. Take care.